You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for he is
good. Yes, he is good. As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also, be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Father, we praise you and we do give thanks. We know that our life comes from every word that proceeds out of your mouth, that it is your truth that makes us free. So I thank you that you prepare our souls to receive this message today, that our spirits will be fed and made stronger through this word. I thank you that no weapon formed against us during this hour shall prosper. I thank you that your word will go forth unhindered. It will bless the hearer, encourage the hearer, strengthen the hearer to do the will of God. That it will be a natural progression of walking in the will of God, understanding all that you have provided for us, the greatness of your love for us. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for it is the Holy Spirit. It is by his power that yokes are broken. I thank you that strongholds are torn down. Everything that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of you, that it will be cast down this day in the name of Christ Jesus. I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Today's message is entitled Inner Life versus Outer Life. This message is birthed out of Matthew chapter 6, and the verse within that chapter that I was led to zero in on, even though we're going to cover the entire chapter, but the very verse that that my focus was narrowed was verse 33. So if you have your Bibles, open them up or open up a Bible app on your phone or your computer and click to Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. And that's where we're going to start. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's look at that in the Message Bible. Okay, I really like the way this reads in the Message Bible. It says, steep. You know, like taking a tea bag and steeping it in hot water. It says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All your human concerns will be met. But first, seek. Steep your life. Glory to God. In God. In fact, the Father has placed us in Christ. Now what we need to learn to do is to live out of that place, because spiritually that is where we have been seated, in Christ. And God has placed his very spirit on the inside of us. Okay, let's get into Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to try and get through the whole chapter today. Well, we'll see how far we get. But what I love about this particular chapter in terms of looking at the our inner life versus our outer life, in this chapter, it gives us warnings about approaching our spiritual life and the natural life from the outside through external action and activity, that should not be the place where our motivation and the life of what we do should not come out of our external actions and activity. It should be an inside life that springs forth out into the natural. Amen. So there are several sections in this chapter 6. It's actually four of them that I sort of pulled out. And the first section talks about doing good works. It talks about giving to those who are in need. Then it goes into a section about prayer, our prayer life. Then it moves from prayer into talking about fasting. And then from fasting, it talks about gathering riches, and it talks about treasures. Your treasures. Amen. So let's begin. We're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to look at our spiritual life. It says, take heed. Well, you know, before I get started on this, one thing I want to say about this. So often we live our lives as if our spiritual life and our natural life are not connected. That living our spiritual life is one thing and living our natural life is another thing. But this chapter is actually showing us that everything springs up out of the Spirit. And we need to get a focus in our minds where we begin to understand that as believers, our place of operation is out of the kingdom of God. And well, I'll get into that a little bit more. So, but let's begin to read the scriptures. Okay, so we're going to start Matthew 6, starting in verse 1. It says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." Now I'm going to read out of the Message Bible those same verses. It makes it very plain. It says it in a language that we can all understand. It says, "Be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding." Now, before this section, this verse begins, there is a like a little header above this verse that says, "The world is not a stage." Now, that is actually the opposite of what we always hear in the world. It says the world is a stage, everybody's playing a part, you know, and that is what we have been programmed with, that kind of thinking, that the world is a stage. But here in the scriptures, it's saying the world is not a stage. So I'm going to read that verse again. "Be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action. I'm sure the play actors, I call them, treating a prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. They get applause, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. He rewards you." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. And it, one of the challenges that we have coming out of a performance-driven culture environment, this system that the world, the system that the enemy has created, this alternate world, because it is not the world that God offered Adam and Eve. This is the alternate world that the deceiver, Satan, offered them in the garden when he deceived them by the manipulation of the words that God had spoken to Adam to get them to disobey, to get them to act independently of God. And this began the creation of this alternative world that you and I are born into. We are born into this world as sinners. Let's move down to the next section in this chapter. Where are we? Verse 5. We're going to move. Now, Jesus is talking about prayer. He's talking about your prayer life. Now, these are all spiritual things, doing good works, helping out the needy, giving into people's lives, those who are in need, right? This is our spiritual life. It says, and when thou prayest, this is verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. This is how the Message Bible reads. It says, and when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Verse 6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. This is interesting because it says, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Amen. Verse 8 says, but be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Jesus goes on and he gives them this simple prayer that we all, from little children, if you've been in church, you've prayed the Father's prayer. Amen. Let's go back to the message Bible version. It says, here's what I want you to do. This is when you pray. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Can you imagine not being yourself before your Father who knows you, who knows every detail of your life? But when we're not operating in the Spirit, that's what our carnal nature, our flesh does. It does role playing. It does a performance. It goes on to say, just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. How beautiful is that? That as we get along, alone in a quiet place, a secluded place with the Father, just simply bearing our hearts. And that as we pray, just simply and honestly praying, speaking to the Father, that as we do this, the focus begins to shift from ourselves to God. And when that shift takes place, then we begin to sense His grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we got to move down to verse 13 in the Message Bible. It says, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. Oh, that's worth reading again. Amen. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. You know, we are blessed. We are blessed. You know, I just think about those who worship idols and statues and the little gods that they worship are not intimate and loving, and there's not this sense of a family that you're actually speaking to your Father, the one who created you, and that you can bear your soul because He loves you and He knows you. It doesn't have to be a performance. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to move down to another part of our spiritual life, which is fasting. We're going to drop down to verse 16. It says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy heavenly Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to read those same verses out of the Message Bible. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go into training inwardly, act normally outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you are doing. He'll reward you well. Amen. an inner life. This is an inner life. An inner life. The kingdom of God is an inner life. Amen. So these are our things that we do in our spiritual life. Doing good to others, feeding the poor, clothing the poor, our prayer life, our life of fasting to discipline us, to focus, so that our focus is strengthened on God. And what else did I miss? I think I got it. Yeah, I got it all. Did I do the four? I think I did. Yeah. Giving to the needy, our prayer life, our fasting life. Oh, and now the fourth one is the fourth section is actually geared toward the natural, all toward the natural. But it is saying even in this, in our natural life, you want to be successful in the natural, that it comes out of your spiritual life, your inner life. Now, you can do it. You can do it all by performance. You know, the world is performing all the time, performing and getting what it wants, the success that it wants. But there is an emptiness behind it because it doesn't bring the true fulfillment. It doesn't bring the peace. It doesn't bring the joy. It doesn't bring the unconditional love that our soul craves for, what we long for. So we can do all of these things out in that natural arena, that outer life, and still be empty on the inside. Okay, let us move down to verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So now let's not misinterpret this to say that God is saying, I don't want you to be wealthy in the natural realm. He wants us to be wealthy spiritually as well as wealthy naturally. He wants that natural expression of wealth to be an expression of what is happening on the inside. But when we reverse it and we do things from the outside to try and make us feel better about who we are on the inside, it backfires on us. So this is what he is warning against us. And he uses the word treasures. Treasure. You know, here that Greek word treasure means something very much valued. Something very much valued. So God is saying he wants your heart to value the treasures of heaven. There's no corruption. There's no deterioration. Thieves can't steal it. They can't break in. It is eternal. It's eternal. And it fulfills you because it is eternal. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then we're going to drop down to verse 22. It says, the light of the body is the eye. So he just finished talking about treasure, which is something that is very much valued. So he's getting us to understand that what we most value should be the things of heaven, the things of the kingdom of God. That's where life is for us. That's where the fulfillment, the peace, and the joy lies. So he moves down here and starts to talk about the light of the body is the eye. Now we're talking about our focus and the vision, what we see and what we focus on. So verse 22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, it's how you see things, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I looked up the Greek word for single. It says, if therefore thine eye be single. That Greek word is haplos. And that's spelled H-A-P-L-O-U-S. And that means, interesting enough, it means simple, uncomplicated, not confused, singleness of purpose that keeps us from the snare of having a double treasure and consequently a divided heart. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. How often do we end up with a divided heart because we don't have a singleness of purpose? If we think the reason why we're in this earth is to make a name for ourselves, to get rich, to gather up treasures in the natural realm, to make a career for ourselves, if we think that that is our purpose for being in the earth, and then we get born again, we hold on to that because we think that that part, which is our natural life, that building that career, that having all of that natural knowledge, that money, that car, that house, whatever that is, that education, we think that it is a separate life from now the spiritual life that we have inherited, being born again and the Spirit of God coming to live in us. We end up with a divided heart. Not a heart sold out to God, but it's divided over here in the natural with all the treasures that we consider that are dear to us over here in this realm, and sometimes it's even your family. If it is greater, your devotion to your family is greater than your devotion to God, then you're going to live life with a divided heart. The word evil It says, but if thine eye be evil, and this is another interesting thing. The Greek word for that is poneros. Poneros. P-O-N-E-R-O-S. Poneros. And that Greek word means full of labors, annoyances, hardships, pressed and harassed by labors. Working so hard to get the good life. Sometimes we sacrifice relationships because we're so busy achieving in this natural life that we lose sight of what's most important. And then it becomes a hardship and we're harassed by it because we become in bondage to it. We become in bondage to the jobs and the careers and the education and in bondage to the mortgage for this big house and the car notes and expensive clothes. We become in bondage for it and our whole life is physically laboring and mentally laboring to maintain these things. And to acquire more of them. Never truly satisfied. Never truly finding life. Abundant life. The life that Christ came to give us. Let's move down to verse 24 in this chapter. It says, no man can serve two masters. That's that divided heart. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Wow. Those are very strong words. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And these words are strong because God wants your father. He's your father. He's not just God. He's your father. And he wants the best for you. He understands that if you have a divided heart and you are so focused on gathering the treasures of this world system, it's going to war against your relationship with God. How often do you feel that you don't have time to go to church, or you're too tired on Sunday, or you're too tired to wake up and pray before you go to church, before you go to work? You're too tired, or you can't seem to focus on picking up the scriptures and reading, or reading a book that has been written by a saint, something that would feed your soul and encourage you. Because your heart is divided. Our Father understands that we cannot maintain that lifestyle. We end up in places of stress and sickness. And even though we may have things in the natural, in the inside, in our inner life, we are starving. Let's go on to verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. It seems preposterous to seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's like, but I need to, I got to put food on the table. I've got to, I have to do this. I have to. Let me continue reading. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, they don't hoard. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Our Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? I'm going to stop. I want to read this in the Message Bible. Okay, let's see. Let's see. Amen. Okay, here we go. Starting in verse 24. No, actually, I'm going to go back to the eyes being your windows. And then I'm going to read into where we are now. Well, you know, I want to go back a little bit further than that. Let's start from where he starts to talk about the treasures. This whole section is actually moving from one place in, but it's all connected. It's like I wanted to use the word bleeding, but it's like one truth or one thought bleeding into the next as it takes us through to the ultimate truth, which is the verse that this whole message is founded on, seeking first the kingdom of God. But anyway, let me get back to the scripture. I'm going to start in verse 19, and I'm reading from the Message Bible. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. I believe there's supposed to be a flow. God blesses us so that we can bless others. If we learn how to be just a vessel, just to be a gateway for the goodness, the treasures of God that will manifest in the natural, glory to God, because God is not a God of lack in any way. When he created the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve, everything, it was luscious and full of many things, all kinds of things. There was nothing that they lacked, okay? And that was in the natural. So he is a God that loves providing for his children, but he also knows that we are spirit beings. So our true life will only come through a life lived in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me continue to read. It says, stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Oh, that's real good. The place where your treasure is the place where you will most want to be and end up being. Glory to God. That's something to think about. Let's move on. Verse 22. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with life. Hallelujah. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. That's like dark and damp. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. Moving on to verse 24, you can't worship two gods at once. It's interesting that it refers to Mammon as a god, because it's an idol. It's a small god. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one god, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. Verse 25, if you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put on in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. Jesus, you count far more to him than birds. Far more to him than birds. So he wants us to stop separating our spiritual and our natural life, to truly enjoy the natural part of life. It has to begin with being wealthy in our spiritual life, our internal life. The kingdom of God is not here nor there, but it is within us. It is within us. Within us. The enemy has offered us this alternative world, which is a false world. And we've been led to think that our fulfillment and who we are, our identity, is found in the things that we possess in this world, in this system. And God is offering us freedom to be defined by who we were created to be, by the very purposes that we were sown, that he sowed into our lives before we were even formed in our mother's womb, before we were even sent into this world. I'm not going to be able to go through all of the verses that the scripture verses that I wanted to go through and to just cover the different areas. So as usual, there's going to be another part to this. But what I'm seeing as I move through these various topics of exhortation, these teaching messages on the broadcast over the past couple of months, what I'm seeing is God is trying to move us into true life. We are the sons of God. There is a position, a place of authority for us to stand in the earth. Because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. I pray that you will continue with me on the journey. If you didn't get to hear the entire message, this will be a podcast. You can listen to it. You can go back through those scriptures, meditate on it, and prayerfully join me for the next segment of this broadcast. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is powerful. It is likened unto a two-edged sword, able to divide our flesh from our spirit so that we can see. We can see this flesh that's warring against our spirit. We can clearly see because your word divides it so that we can see the flesh in action and denounce it. And put it underneath our feet and allow our spirit to dominate and control our souls and not our flesh, telling our souls what to feel and what to think. We thank you that it is the truth that makes us free. And Jesus is that truth. He is the Word made flesh. He came down into the earth so that we may have life and life more abundantly. We thank you for strongholds being torn down, those mental strongholds that keep us trapped in certain habit patterns, that they're being broken right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we are free and not to be slaves again to this world system. We thank you for loving us unconditionally, that while we were yet enemies of God, you gave your Son so that we might be restored back into right relationship with you as heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And Father, I thank you for those listening to today who have not turned their hearts over to you. I thank you, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit is moving upon their hearts right now. That they're saying, Lord, I know that I am a sinner in need of saving. Come into my heart. Come live in me and set me free from this bondage. I receive your forgiveness of sin. I receive you as Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is worthy to be praised.